Calling all lovers of mystery and fans of a good story. If you haven't already heard me talk about June's journey, you're in for a treat. It's time to don your detective hat in this free hidden object mobile game that delves into the captivating journey of June Parker, a self-proclaimed detective on a quest to unravel the mystery surrounding her sister's untimely death. In June's journey, you get to play as June, deciphering clues and unveiling secret plots within thousands of beautifully illustrated scenes. And did I mention it's set in the glitzy 1920s? New chapters are added weekly, so you will never run out of new thrills to uncover, and you can also personalize and decorate your very own Orchid Island where the story takes place. How sharp are your detective skills? Find out when you download June's Journey on your Android or iOS device, or play online via Facebook Games. Your detective journey awaits.
Are you thinking about getting into Dungeons & Dragons? Maybe you're looking to expand your horizons as a DM or a player. If that's the case, then it's time for you to check out The Dungeon Cast, the best D&D podcast out there that helps you passively learn all about the game just by listening. Join co-hosts Will and Brian as they break down the lore of a rich multiverse 50 years in the making in a lighthearted and beginner-friendly way. They cover everything from character creation options to tips for dungeon masters. There's something for everyone, no matter how long you've been playing TTRPGs. Find The Dungeon Cast anywhere you get podcasts or on YouTube.
Hello, world, and welcome back to another episode of Thanks for Coming In. I'm your host, Jillian Clare. What is everyone doing this October? Have you been doing some fun Halloween stuff? I definitely have. I went to Halloween Horror Nights, and I went to another really fun maze out here, and there's definitely more stuff I want to do, but I'm probably going to save the pumpkin carving until, like, day of, because last time we did it, they legitimately rotted overnight because this is California. So saving that, but I did find somebody to make my Halloween costume for me. Thank the Lord. She is doing an incredible job. I have a fitting tomorrow again to look at it. This is the first time I've ever had somebody make a Halloween costume for me. So I'm really freaking stoked. It's going to be so good. Yay. Anyway, I hope you're doing some fun Halloween stuff. And speaking of spooky things, kind of in the same area there. I will be on the podcast Somewhere in the Skies this week, talking all things Alien Abduction, the movie that I was in. Not just Alien Abductions, but, you know, the actual movie. So check that out. It's called Somewhere in the Skies. I had a great time doing a little video for Ryan over there. And yeah, if you like aliens, you should listen to that podcast. Today on the show, we have Anastasia Washington. I had the best time talking with her. A incredible woman and just a force. And I'm so stoked to see what she does in her career. So here's my conversation with Anastasia Washington. And welcome to the show, Miss Anastasia Washington.
Hi, everyone.
How are you on this fine day?
I'm good. It's very cloudy in LA, which I love.
I know, right? I woke up and I was like, oh my God, please stay this way all day. I just want to wear a sweater and like nothing else. I just want to be, I have a glass of tea right here. I'm ready to just curl up.
Yeah. Watch the rest of Squid Game and Baking Champion and just never move.
Okay. Let's, I'm with that 100%. 100%. I'm ready for that.
Yes.
Squid Game, where are you in it? Because I just finished it the other night and my brain exploded.
I just finished it, but I really think I might rewatch. I might do yeah. It.
It was one of those shows. I haven't had a show like affect me that much in so long where I was just sitting there going, oh God, can I watch the next episode? Like, can I do it? But then you have to because you want to. You like want to know what happens, but still.
For sure. And I'm a big fan of that, like, genre. Like, I am a big fan of, like, Battle Royale, which is a Japanese series of horror films that is kind of like it, but not. Like, I just, I like that kind of, like, you know, putting people in extreme situations and seeing if people will be nice.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is, like,
never. Like auditions. No, just kidding. Hey.
We're talking. talking to those of you who try to psych us out. FYI.
Exactly. I see you.
I see you, damn it. Yeah, I don't know about you, but that marble episode, just like my anxiety levels were so high. I was like, I stopped it multiple times because I was like, I can't take this. I can't take this.
The marble episode. And then I would say the, like, I want to call it like a chess board, but it's like glass.
Yeah. 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 The bridge.
I was like, are they playing chess? I don't understand where. It's like, what childhood game is this? I don't remember stepping on glass.
I know. I think it was, what was that one where you like hopscotch? I think it was trying to be like hopscotch.
You know, that makes sense, because I was like, Mom, you never let me walk on glass.
Right. This is not, unless it's like a Korean something that I'm totally messing up by saying it's hopscotch, but to me, that's what it represented.
I mean, that makes more logical sense than my thought process, so I'm going to go with yours on that one.
I love
for
that.
Sure.
Oh my gosh. Okay, well, enough of the Squid Game.
Yes.
Enough. I want to talk to you about you, because that's why we're here. So tell me a little bit about what got you started in the industry. I mean, obviously you have like 1,000 jobs within the industry. You're one of those badass women who just takes on it all, on everything. And I love that. So what got you started in it? Like, what made you say, oh, I'm an entertainer and I have to do this now?
So I started as a kid actor. I apparently was very, I don't want to say annoying, entertaining. And I wouldn't stop like tap dancing and singing. And there was this moment where my parents took me to an amusement park and we were supposed to be watching the show. And of course I decided to just like perform instead. And then when people like clapped and applauded for the show, I took a bow and my mom was like, all right, so like, let's get her an agent. And so then I did, and I worked pretty steadily through my childhood. And it's just, I've never not known that I wanted to be an entertainer.
Yeah.
Like, I just didn't know. I just never know what that's going to look like from the day to day, right? I just roll with it. Roll with the times. Roll with what I can create and what I can do. Because I think that's what you have to be. I know a lot of people are like, just focus on one, which is a, you know, it's a great strategy for some people.
Right.
Not exactly where I like to be. I like to be busy. I like to keep active and try different things and, you know, to each their own.
And I think it's like, you know, the times have changed so much. You can't rely on, you know, just hoping that you'll get lucky one day. You just can't rely on that anymore, because it used to be much more common. People, you know, would come out of nowhere and all of a sudden have like this amazing career, but that doesn't happen as much as it used to. So,
right.
Especially with, you know, social media and the ability now to create our own content and release it for the world to see, there's really, I don't see a reason to not have a multifaceted career at this point. Like,
agreed.
If you're an artist, you're an artist.
Yeah, I agree. And I think also coming from being a child actor and singer, I there was a point in my life where like I had to start making decisions for myself. And I was like, wait, what? Like, I have to do this? Wait, my mom doesn't come to auditions with me. And I have to be alone on set. And there was this like loss of like, you know, I had so many elements controlled for me. And then there was like, oh, I can do something about this. Like, I don't have to sit and wait and see if somebody makes this decision for me. I can make this decision for me. And if nobody's calling, I can pick up a phone and call, or I can make something. I can do something that shows something about me off. And I can broaden my community, which I think is so important. Like, it's just essential to say yes to things.
Yeah.
Not to the point where you're getting taken advantage of, but to say yes, because one day you're going to need that help too on your project. And you'll have people, you'll have a community.
Well, and that even goes back to, you know, just filmmaking in general. I mean, you look at somebody like Judd Apatow, who has created this community of people that he consistently uses because that's his group. That those are his people. Those are his friends. And James Gunn is doing the same thing right now with his films where it's like, yes, you see the same people, but he also adds in new people. But he's found those people that he enjoys creating with, which if you don't enjoy creating with who you're with, then it's kind of silly anyway.
Well, and that's so true. Like it's such a laborious work of love to make a film, right? Mm-hmm. It's great. We're lucky to do it, but also it's a lot, you know? And, and I do see a lot of like male community makers, and I hope that we see more female community makers. And I hope I'm one of those female community makers. As we see more opportunities for females in the industry and as we get higher up, I want those community builders like Tina Fey and Amy Poehler, very good at making community.
Oh, very good. You know? Well, and you're seeing it now with like...
So good at making community for comedy. Yeah.
And you're seeing it with like Ava DuVernay right now too, with her entire platform that she's built as well for all of these crew members to be able to come together and build that community, which is really inspiring. She's like the coolest woman in the industry right now, in my opinion, but she's like so inspiring with the stuff like that she's doing constantly to like make a more inclusive, diverse community full of people that can fight for themselves as well. And we're not just all relying on like some dude to make a decision for us. We're like saying, hey, we're going to do it.
Exactly. And I think that is one of my main focuses, is to find those like community members that I can be around. And I've found some really great communities like Hoo Ha Ha, Elizabeth Banks. Hoo Ha Ha is like a great place for comedians. I have met so many amazing creators and women through that platform. And the Woman of Color List, always lifting each other up, getting mentorships and hustling. And I'm like, there are people out there. There is communities for women out there, like Women in Film. It's another one, you know, like
love them.
These are ones that we can get involved in and we can help each other and we can broaden this community and we can hire each other. And, you know, that's where I want to be. Like I want to be in these communities. I want to bring us up together. I've met so many amazing people through them. I mean, it's scary. I'm not going to lie. You know, you're a woman and you're going to these like different community events and you're like, oh, do I talk to people? Like, what do I do? You know, it's always great to go with somebody else, but you can't always do that, you know?
Yeah.
But I'm annoying and I'll start a conversation with people. I'll be like, hey,
I envy that. I like your shirt.
I don't know. You just try something. You're like, your earrings are great. That is the best way to start a conversation.
Your earrings are great. I love something.
Then you know, like, I don't know. And you started off on like a good note. Like, and I always wear, I like to wear statement pieces. Like I wear shirts that say something or big earrings or something. Mm. And I'm hoping that somebody will be like,
oh, so you know, you're pulling people in.
Yeah, I try. I sometimes do it. Like, or, you know, like, like nerdy elements that, you know, like, and if somebody gets my nerd reference, I'm like, yes, you are my people.
Oh, you're a good one.
Yeah. I mean, I kind of felt like as a kid from the very start, like just being biracial and being like a kind of like, what are you, is like the biggest icebreaker I always get. Like people just walk up to me and be like, what are you? We were talking.
No
about
way.
It and we were, you're like, like, well, at least we're talking.
I can't believe that people actually do that. That is such a bold choice to make. Oh my God.
Literally last night I was at a comedy show and these people were discussing and they were like, we thought you were Irish and black. And I was like, well, you're right. Thank you.
I'm like, dude.
But they what talk the to me fuck? And they're like, oh, so you're a stand-up comedian? Oh my God, blah, 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 blah. And then they go into the weird questions where like, okay, how black is your father? Which one? Like, I'm like, I don't know, honey. Like, thank you. Follow me on Insta.
Oh my God. Follow me on Insta. I'm now going to leave this conversation. Goodbye.
Thank you.
Holy shit.
But listen, it started a conversation. I mean.
Yeah, I mean, it did.
Yeah.
Is it the conversation you want to be in? Is the question.
I mean, listen, I don't mind talking about stuff like that as long as you come at me in a nice way. Like, I don't mind. I think it's important for me, like, being biracial to kind of bridge those gaps and talk to people about stuff that they're... I mean, I'm like, listen, I didn't choose to be this way, but it is a, it's a great position to show empathy and to give people, you know, a platform to ask their questions, hopefully in a safe way and hopefully in a respectable way.
Exactly.
And to discuss it. It doesn't always happen that way. And that's fine. But I think that's why I got into entertainment in the first place, is so that I could have conversations like that and have teachable moments be fun, you know, especially in comedy. Just be like, okay, cool, yeah, well, when you ask things like that,
when you do this, just so you know, don't.
Don't. But also, now that you're here, we can talk.
Let's talk about it.
Let's talk about it. And I just think, like, you know, it, being an entertainer, you're just so much more approachable than other people. So I know it's a lot of responsibility on us, but at the same time, I'm like, well, you know, while you're here, might as well, like,
educate.
Do some good.
Yeah.
As a podcast network, our first priority has always been audio and the stories we're able to share with you. But we also sell merch, and organizing that was made both possible and easy with Shopify. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell and grow at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. They have an all-in-one e-commerce platform and in-person POS system, so wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. With the internet's best converting checkout, 36% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms, Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers. Shopify has allowed us to share something tangible with the podcast community we've built here, selling our beanies, sweatshirts, and mugs to fans of our shows without taking up too much time from all the other work we do to bring you even more great content. And it's not just us. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. Shopify is also the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/realm, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/REALM now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/realm. You can shop from anywhere doing pretty much anything. You might shop while working, eating, or even listening to this podcast. And however you shop, we all know and love the thrill of the hunt. But do you also know how to get the thrill of the best deals? Because Rakuten shoppers do. With Rakuten, they get the deals they love with the most savings and cash back. And you can get it too. Start getting cash back at your favorite stores like Sephora, Nike, and even Expedia if you're looking to get some travel in. And getting cash back doesn't mean you have to miss out on sales, because those can just be stacked right on top. It's easy to use and based on a simple idea. Stores pay Rakuten for sending them shoppers, and Rakuten shares the money with you as cash back through PayPal or check. Download the free Rakuten app and never miss a deal. Or go to Rakuten.com to start getting the most bang for your buck. That's Rakuten.
Well, that brings me to your one-woman show. Let's talk about that. 50 Shades of Mixed, Confessions of Your Ethnically Ambiguous Best Friend. What a title, first off. tongue twister all around, and I love it. I'm here for it. tell me a little bit about this show.
Yeah, I mean, it's the first, it's like reflections of the first 10 years of my life. as a biracial child in LA and as an actor, and it touches on some pretty tough stuff, I'm not gonna lie. But you know, I'm a big believer in re-narrations and taking back your story and seeing what good can come of it. Like, you know, I have a friend that always kind of asks this question, like, what if you could take away a memory, would you do it? And I think about that a lot, and I don't think I would. Like, I think one of the things about going through the one woman show and like writing it and performing it that I got was like, these are things that, yes, may be negative and like, God, like sometimes like I wish that didn't happen to me. But at the same time, if I like who I am and I like how I deal with things, I don't have to love that happened to me. But I mean, obviously that's something that happened to me, and it became me, you know?
Right. So it must have been a very like cathartic experience writing this and going through your emotions kind of by yourself and figuring it out. I mean, that must have been such a like release.
Yeah, it was. It was such a release. I also think it was interesting when my family or friends watched it, right? And so like they have their own like view of me, and they have their own view of my experiences, and they have their own experiences, and so it was very interesting that like my family watched and they talked about the, you know, like those memories too, and like what they remembered from it and how they felt about it and how it affected them. And you know, I think it was really interesting because, you know, I am a happy-go-lucky person. I do comedy mostly. And I think people were expecting, like, this is going to just be funny, 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 funny.
Comedy show, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. But I will say it dug deep. And there is some stuff that, you know, people are like, ooh, you know. But that's the kind of comedy I like. I'm like the, ooh. And then I tell you it's okay. And you can laugh. And then you're fine. Yeah. And then you're fine. It's like, I'm okay. See, I'm standing up on stage. I am fine.
Right.
That's what therapy's for. We're
exactly.
All okay. Therapy and cake will get us through it all.
Yes. Oh, my God. That needs to be a t-shirt. Can you create that t-shirt? I'll buy it.
Yes. I love it. But yeah, I mean, it was such an interesting experience. I think also another thing that it helped me do was really understand other members of my family. You know, when I was starting to do research about, like, you know, like putting up pictures and putting up things to support, you know, the production, I learned a lot about my dad, you know.
Really?
And like, you know, my dad was like a pretty tough like man that brought himself up from the south side of Chicago and made something of himself in a time that it was not okay to do that as a Black man. So he experienced a lot, but he was also very harsh. Like, he was like a very like blunt person. And I think I had my way of dealing with it, which is very comedic. It's like, you know, like my dad would come in and be like, oh my God, you have a pimple, and did you get that job? Are you ever gonna? And then I'd be like, then I would honk his nose, and I would say, you have to say one positive thing before we can continue, and then you can go back. You know, like, and then I was just like, what? You know, that was the way I dealt with it. And then when I was doing research on the show, I realized a lot about like how that was just like preparation for the world and how they were gonna evaluate you and toughening you up and how he grew up and how the things he had to hear and stuff like that. And I read his poetry and I put it up. And so, yeah, I mean, I think I learned a lot about motivations from people as well, which I think is such a blessing, you know?
Yeah.
To be like, oh, okay, well now I get it. Like I get where you're coming from.
Right.
Yeah.
This sounds amazing, and I want to watch it. Is there a way people can watch it? Are you going to put it back up? Or
I think, yeah. So it's at the Whitefire Theater's website. I think they're going to re-release it on digital so that awesome. You can watch it. I'm not sure the release date for that because we just redid it a couple months ago, like, and put it up. So I think it's going to be on streaming soon. Soon.
Good. And speaking of streaming, let's go over to the other thing that you just did, which you acted in, directed in, wrote, and produced, Disordered.
Yes.
Tell me about this web series that you did.
So a group of me and my comedy stand-up comedic friends, we realized that we all had some kind of disordered eating. We wanted to write this like thing about eating disorders in a funny way. And we started writing it before the pandemic. And then, the pandemic happened and we're like,
yeah.
Oh, we really, really, really don't want to not do it. And I think also we would talk about things and we'd be like, God, this is triggering or this is making me feel this way. And like, I feel like we have a lot to express right now. So we produced it. We did it over Zoom. We talked about all kinds of disorders, not just eating. And hopefully we made people laugh, but also think about how it looks. Like, I think we have this very small visual of what an eating disorder or disordered eating looks like. Like, you know, there's like this blonde, skinny girl that's suffering. Yep. And that is true. There are people like that. There's also curvy girls, you know. I remember when I like came out to my family as like somebody that was fighting with an eating disorder, or even if I told some of my friends, they were like, but you are, and I'm like, yeah, so not all of us are successful. No, I'm just kidding. So not all of us are skinny. you know, it looks like a whole bunch of different things, and it's a, you know, and I think for me and my fellow writers of Disordered, we wanted to have people know that you could be struggling and look like a variety of things. And your friend could be suffering and they could look like a variety of things. And we really like eventually want to get into male disordered eating too, because I feel like that is such a stigma and I would love
huge
to get
stigma.
Into that more. Yeah. So that is definitely a goal. We touch on it a little bit in season one, but I would love to go deeper. I would love to.
Season two, baby.
Yeah, season two. And you know, so far it's done pretty well. We're in the Black Women in Comedy Festival that is next week, premiering one of our episodes, where I dragged my mom into an episode. Yes. And that's the episode that is premiering at the festival.
It was
awesome to have her act in it, and then she also was like, "Do I say those things?" I was like, "Well, I did write it."
Oh.
But
that's
so
cool. I mean, that's like, it's such a timely subject too, with social media creating such body dysmorphia for so many people. Yeah. I mean, I know I've gone through, like everyone I know has some form of body dysmorphia because of social media and everything that's kind of pushed on us all the time. So this is a very timely show. I'm very excited to watch it.
Oh, thank you.
Before we get to your audition story here, I just want to give a quick shout out because you were in Delicate State with Paula Rhodes, who
I
had on the show a couple weeks ago. And I just want to be like, oh my God, connection.
Were you at the premiere?
No, she was on the podcast right before the premiere.
Oh.
So we talked about the movie and the making of it, which was so cool. It must have been such a fun experience to be a part of it as well.
Oh my gosh, yes. And like, you know, we come from the nerd world. Me and Paula have hosted together for years. And so it's just great to see this journey. Like, it's awesome. Like that she.
Well, like we were saying earlier, it's the community and women building community with each other. So that's a prime example of it right there.
For sure. Yeah. We have each other's back when we need it, for sure.
I love that. Okay. Well, on this show, we like to share audition stories that have either gone awry, the ones that have got away, the ones that have made us cry, and the ones that have made us laugh. Do you have any stories that you would like to share with the listeners?
Oh gosh, I teeter between the two. Okay, so I think I have to say this one that like drove me crazy. I was in a commercial audition a few years ago, and it was like one of those phone commercials, and they're like, "Bring your phone in, everyone, bring their phone in, but put it on silent and use it as your tool for this commercial." Mm. That, yes, you know, use your phone, put it on silent. Seems reasonable. Like, yes. Okay. So it was one of those auditions where we are not alone. We're like lined up, like four of us are lined up in there and we're doing actions or whatever. This guy answers his phone. Get off anytime soon. Like, literally, we're in the middle of a take. Like, we've slated, and now they're like, okay, this is the action, blah, blah, blah. Now let's go. And he just answers his phone. It's like, yeah, I'm in an audition. And like, I was like, yeah, like, we kind of all are in an audition.
Yeah, and bro, you're in an audition. What are you doing?
I have never seen a casting director get more upset. In my life, he was like so pissed, and I get it. Like, I just never have seen somebody like casting directors are so like cool, you know? Yeah. They're just kind of like, whatever. I'll note this later. This guy lost it on this dude, and I was like, yeah, warranted.
No, he deserves that. Do it. Lose it. Lose your mind.
Lose it. So he was like, get out, blah, 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 blah. And then we did our auditions. And I was like, there's no way anybody in this room gets a callback. All of us got a callback.
Stop it.
Not the guy. Not him. I don't know if it was like, they're like, if you could handle being around that and you kept your cool, then like, we'll bring you back in. But it was pretty funny, because I was just like, well, that's just a wash. But it wasn't.
Wow.
I know.
I can't believe the dude just answers the phone in the middle of an audition room. Not even like the waiting room. You're in the audition room. You are doing your thing in the middle after you've slated, and you're gonna answer your phone?
I was like, the audacity. Like, I gotta say, I would never have the courage. Well, I would never be that rude, but also, like, let's call it courage. I would never be able to have the courage to do that. There's no way.
I want to know who he was talking to, that it was so important that he answered that phone.
Right?
Like, who was it? But who was on the other side?
I don't know. Because he was like, hey, what up? Yeah, I'm in the audition.
Okay, so it was clearly not like an agent or manager, like a family lawyer, or like anything that would be like, you need to answer this.
No, I did not have any urgency, I don't think. You know, and it's so funny because I think like in this new age, we get moments like that. Like, I was in a stand-up show over Zoom during the pandemic where somebody answered their phone during somebody's set and talked. Like, and he's like, nah, I'm on the, I'll be done with this show. Then we can, you want to hook up later? Okay, we're going to, and everyone was like, your phone, you're not muted. You're not muted.
Sir, you need to mute yourself.
And they're like, God. Oh, my bad. I was like, it's okay. Now we know where you're going later.
Now we're all going to show up and yell at you for interrupting this set.
I mean, it wasn't my set, but I still feel need to yell.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't think I'll ever be over that. The audacity of that man to just answer his phone. Like,
I just don't even know what your thought process is. Like, I don't know. I don't know.
I don't know either.
Like, it's just, you're just like, yes, I'm in an audition. And there are three other people that are also auditioning with me. I will answer like, my phone.
Those commercial auditions already are kind of awkward because it's like,
yeah,
we're all standing in a line to do the exact same thing. And yeah, you're watching the other people and you're like, oh, that was an interesting way of doing it. Oh, he did it that way. And you're like, oh, shit, what am I going to do? And then you do it and you're like, oh, man, okay. And then you watch more people do it. So then it's just like, it's just such a weird way to audition to begin with. It's already a little uncomfortable. And then for him to just add on to that.
But you know, it's just remarkable. It really did show me how I did not want to audition. I was like, yep, but definitely not doing that in my take.
this is not how I'm gonna handle it. I'm gonna do something different.
Very different direction that I'm gonna go in.
Oh my god, that is that's a great story. Thank you for sharing that. That was fantastic.
I hope people learn not to answer their phone during an audition. But I thought that would be obvious before.
I mean, but you would think. Wow. All right. Well. Where can people follow you on the social media to follow all of your happenings and doings and things that are going on in your life?
Oh, yes. Well, you can follow me at Anastasia W on Twitter and TikTok and at Anastasia Wash on Instagram. Also on YouTube, Anastasia TV. And if you want to hear some comedy meditations, Anastasia TV on any of your podcast apps. I've got two meditations out right now and I'm hoping to do more. So if you feel like you want to laugh and be empowered and relax, check them out.
Hey, a new form of meditation. I dig it. Maybe it's one I can actually get through because I don't know about you. I'm that person who's like, I'm like, I don't know, 2 minutes in and I'm just like, is it over?
See, and these are pretty short. Like there's one that's literally just telling you, like listening to you when you have a bad day and just encouraging you through it. So that is, if that's what you need, I'm here for you.
We love that. Well, thank you so much for coming on the show. I had a blast with you. It was so great to talk to you. And I'm excited to watch your one woman show and your web series and everything else that you have coming out. So thank you again for coming on.
Thank you so much.
Thank you again to Anastasia for coming on the show and talking with me. It was so much fun to meet her and I can't wait to see what she does. And hopefully I get to see that one woman show soon. Tune in next week. I have somebody really fun from Impeachment on the show. And until then, if you could just give us some love, rate, review, subscribe. And as always, thanks for coming in.
Nowadays, trends and news cycles change faster than we can blink. But there are some things that withstand the test of time. And if you're looking for a connection to something timeless, and maybe also a glimpse of life at a slower pace, I believe everyone can relate to the very human experiences explored in Jane Austen's novels. And that's where I come in. My name is Alison Larkin. I'm a writer, comedian, and narrator and host of The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin. I spent a lot of my childhood in the part of England where Jane Austen lived and wrote, and now that I live in the States, nothing gives me a sense of homecoming quite like narrating her books. On this show, you'll listen to award-winning narration, I'll give myself a pat on the back for that, as well as conversations with actors, writers, and other fascinating people who all share a passionate love for Jane Austen. So please, join me as we embark on a wonderful journey through Jane Austen's work. Be sure to listen and subscribe to The Jane Austen Podcast with Alison Larkin, wherever you get your podcasts.